Well, I desire your prayers tonight. I'm thankful to get the opportunity to be here, see you folks again. When Sister Angela called and said that she would like to have a little bit of a meeting, I felt like the Lord gave me a special burden, you may say, for you folks. It was kind of this way. Brother Michael Smith said last fall, I think it was, he said, I know we're just a few, but we got to go to heaven too. And I got a, seemed like a special burden of prayer to pray that the Lord would meet your all's need. And I had to confess to the Lord and to you, I don't know what your need is. But I know that the Lord knows, and my prayer has been that there'd be no interferences between what the Lord wants to bring and our being able to receive of it. So I pray the Lord would help us tonight and that our hearts would be open to the Word. I'd like to look at the 5th chapter of Matthew, just one verse. 5:5 of Matthew says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That word blessed means happy. Happy. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, people are running to and fro, striving for things in life to... And I tried to think, what do they do it for? I think we'd all acknowledge that the bottom of it is to be happy. Now, it's false. It doesn't do it. But that's the reason they would do it. No matter what it is the desire to be happy. I suppose the Lord knows more about what makes a person happy than they know themselves. I don't think there could be anybody that could know more about anything that they made than the one that made it. I think the Lord knows how He designed people and what would make them happy in it. And the Lord knows that. And in this little bit of a sermon here that the Lord gave, He mentioned a number of times, happy are thee. Happy are you if you do this. Happy if you do these things. He said, happy, blessed are the meek. That somehow seems like it would be contrary to what any idea of the world would be. How could you be happy that way if you're meek, somebody's going to run over you? If you're meek, somebody's going to say something and you won't say nothing back? Or I thought they taught in the world today that if you want to be something, you gotta make it for yourself. You gotta be strong. You gotta be bigger than somebody else. You gotta be number one. A lot of little children running around, they play sports. You know, they number one. They're number one. That kind of an attitude. But the Lord didn't say that being the fastest, the strongest, the richest, the smartest would make you happy. He didn't say that if you was able to outsmart your neighbor or be cleverer than your wife or be able to outdo somebody in some sort of way that you'd be happy. But He actually said if you'd humble yourself, if you'd lower yourself, you could never be beat. You think of that. You want to be happy? He said, blessed are the meek. Now, I'll be honest with you, this scripture, for years, I never understood it. And I mean of recent years. All my years. I look at that and it always threw me. I would always say, I don't know what that's talking about because it don't register with me. I understand the words. I understand happy, blessed. I understand what it means to be meek. But they inherit the earth. That always threw me. This is the earth. Earth is our planet. The whole globe, that's the earth. And I look at that and say, who wants it, spiritually speaking? Well, there's all that. But you know, Lord, help us to really understand what the Lord is saying here, because it's so valuable to us. Men have fought for little sections and little corners of this earth ever since there's been people. They've been fighting over land. Land is power. Land is authority. Land is prestige. If you owned all of this Danville, Junction City area, you would be somebody. At least down here you'd be somebody. We wouldn't think you as anybody up home. But down here you'd be somebody. Everybody would know your name. They'd know, who you rent this from? Well, this is also, everybody knows who owns this around here. Because if you own something, you're somebody. And people have fought for this little sections and little corners of this earth all over the place. There's been great wars waged over land, the possession of land, who's got the title. It's come down to neighbors fighting neighbors over a few inches of it sometimes. My life's occupation before I went full-time in the Lord was a surveyor. And I know a lot of stories of people that pulled guns and fought and over this much. Just little bits of corners and just little things. And they fought over it because that land is value and it means something to have that. That wasn't what the Lord was talking about. But He was in a sense of a type almost. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. You know what inherit means? It means you're going to get something that you don't own from somebody else. An inheritance, you didn't work for it. You didn't make it. You didn't create it. It was handed to you by somebody else. Somebody else that didn't make it, got it, laid hold of it, and then passes it on. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, the ground, no, the soil, this earth. That wouldn't make sense. What's he inheriting? The land. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. What land then? You know what land the Lord wants you to possess? Your land. The one God made for you. And there's only one way to possess it. I can't outfight you for it. I can't struggle in the flesh over this one. I can't try to get it like people do when mom dies or dad dies and there's a few knickknacks and trinkets and sometimes maybe a firearm or maybe a vehicle or a home or some land, and the children go to pieces fighting over, trying to get the inheritance of something they didn't make, they didn't build it, they didn't work for it. But by right, it's their inheritance, and they fight and struggle for it and try to get that. But when they get it, they've lost the most valuable things that they ever could have had, and they lost it in the pursuit. And I look at our world and say, look what they're losing. The struggling, the fighting, all of those things. You can never, ever get what the Lord made for you through strife, through pride. You'll never gain it. But the Lord's got something for you. And oh, how this made sense to my heart and my mind when I started understanding exactly what this was talking about. It was an analogy, so to speak. Jesus was talking in the terms of the Canaan land. You remember the Canaan land and what that was promised? How it was promised to the children of Israel as a heritage, an inheritance of God. God said, I'm going to give you, through Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. You didn't work for it. You didn't build the cities. He said, I'm going to give you a land that the vineyards, there's vineyards in the lands and you didn't plant them. There's cities there that you didn't build. And I'm going to give this to you as an inheritance. This is going to be your land, made particularly for you. Made for you. Now, that was in the natural. But the Lord was using this kind of spiritually, symbolically, to say that there is something that the Lord wants to give that He made, that He's made for us, that will make us happy. And there's only one way to get it. You can't fight for it carnally and ever attain to it. The only way you can do it is to humble yourself before God, to get down low. Brother Tony Salmon said one time the definition of meek was to give up your rights. You got a right to certain things. You can say, I got a right to something here. But to give that up for something that's more valuable, you're going to get something here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Not this old earth. The Lord knows what's going to happen to this earth. That's not our inheritance. Our inheritance is this: God looking down through the ages. He made you. He made you. He knows where you're going to be happiest at. He knows what's best in your life. He knows what people are best in your life. I thank God for the heritage that I have in God. The church, the saints, my friends, my family. Heaven, of course, when I die. But there's a lot of heritage before that that God has for us. The place, but it's more than that. We can list the blessings, and we like to do that. Just like Romans 5. Oh, yeah, sure, we'll glory. Wonderful. We'll rejoice in the glory of God. The hope of heaven, of good things. Love to see Jesus come in and heal and feed the 5,000 and the things that we can jump and shout about. But the Apostle Paul said, but not that only. There's something else to rejoice. I'll glory in tribulation. Because he was saying, I own something. God's got a land for me. And I want to possess my land. I want to be able to see what will grow there. What I can get valuable out of it. I've got a space and time of life given to me by God Himself. Marty Clevenger. No amount to nothing, it's the world. Nobody knows my name. They don't even hardly know me up home. But God made me. I'm a part of His creation. He knows what's best. When He knows what my land should hold to make me what I should be. And Apostle Paul said, I'll rejoice in tribulation also. Why? That my land might grow and be fruitful. Because tribulation worketh patience. I need some more of that. I need some more patience. And then there's patience. And then there's knowledge. I need some more understandings of things. So my land, I can have more, possess more. And God knows all of those things. And what this is talking about, and I missed it for years. I didn't understand it. But I think I understand it now. I'm not talking about the earth. He's talking about my plan that God's made for me. And the only way we can get it, there is no other way to get it. He said, the meek shall inherit their land. The people that's in search for it, fighting for it, striving for it, never see the potential. They never see what they really were supposed to be, what God really made them to be. In the 16th Psalm, David wrote a psalm, and he put in it these words. In the 5th verse, he said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Again, the analogy here was of the time that the children of Israel was given the land, and it was divided up by tribes, if you remember. And then the tribes was divided up into lots. For each of the tribes, they got a portion of the land. And he said, the Lord is my portion. That was the idea of it all. The Lord is my portion. Where should I go? You know, there, people will look, and I imagine in the, if you'll give me this liberty, of those less than, and many of the Israelites were less than spiritual. Understanding the full scope of God, I imagine some of them said, all Judah, or all have to be of Benjamin, have to be from here or there. Simeon's the one who got the good spots. I never liked the plains. I always wanted to be in the mountains, and look where they put me at. Our lot's been down here. Or I'm on the sea coast. Never did like the sea. Would rather have the mountains on that. But the psalmist here got a hold of something else. He's talking about his lines. He said in the sixth verse, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. My lines. They're where God put me at. What a valuable thing. You look at your life and say, heartache and sorrow has followed me all my life. But the psalmist said, my lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. I can read the life of David and see the battle that he had trying to become king, running from Saul, having javelins thrown at him, all the things that he failed at that must have been a heartache to him. Read the 51st Psalm about how he prayed over his failure with Bathsheba. Look at the life that he had and all the difficulties in it, but yet he wrote, my lines are fallen in pleasant places because God made that line for me. My lot, my land that I desire to have of God, they fall to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Thank God tonight that He's in control of the destiny of our lives. I think about it quite often as we face things in life and think, maybe you haven't ever been there, but sometimes I'll get up against them sometimes and say, I don't want to do this. There has been more than one occasion that it come up about bedtime and one of the children gets sick or somebody gets sick or we get a phone call and the first thing that I think is I say, Lord, no, I'm not ready for this one. I'm not ready to do this again. I'm tired. I need rest. Lord, no, not tonight. Not tonight. Don't change thing. Not tonight. But you know what changes something? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. I remember one night, it was about 10 o'clock. And I remember it because I was really, really tired. I hadn't slept well for nights, and I was so looking forward to bedtime, and it was just about bedtime. And I thought, oh, this is going to be nice to get in bed. And everybody was just fine. And then all of a sudden, right, just, it was like the snapping of fingers. One of my children just threw up right in the floor. Just, there it was. And instantly they were fevered and sick. And I was up all night with a sick child in my arms. And I said, no. Lord, no. I'm going to tell you, when the sun finally started coming up and I never had any sleep all night long, I sure prayed a lot. The Lord met me that night over and over. The Lord inspired my faith. The Lord inspired my life. The Lord was close by. I felt His presence. I still was, through the night, I was still battling with the idea of the long night and the being tired and all that, and longed for the sun. You ever long for see the sun come up? Oh, if day would just get here. I've said it over and over. Oh, if day would just come. And when daylight finally came, you know what I said? I found myself just saying it. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through the night. Thank you, Lord, my lines have fell unto me in pleasant places. But you know, we can fight, because most of the time our fight, if you want to say this, our battle's right here between my two fingers. That's where my battle's at. I fight the things of my mind, in my mind. And if you will, this is almost a consecration message, because what it's about is dropping myself. The meek. You know what that word means? The best that the English language could do with that word, meek there, was an old term that isn't hardly even meant the same today. It is actually gentleman. Gentleman. One time that meant just that. And it was a great compliment. Now, gentleman didn't quite use that. It's just used for a guy somewhere. But it used to be meant for just what it meant. Gentleman. Meek. Someone that's not haughty or high-spirited. Someone that will drop their head before the Lord. Someone that will accept the ways of God. In all of these doings, we look and say, Lord, no. Not now. Not me. I'm not going to go that way. But blessed, Jesus said, happy. Happy are those that will submit themselves. You'll get your land, and the only way you can get the land God made for you is to humble yourself to it. Be gentle to it. Accept it as God's line in your life. This is where God has placed me. I happen to be 50 years old now. Half a century. Sounds so old. Half a century. I know there's some of you who are older than that. You're saying, oh, so what? But it seems like something to me. There's a milestone. I'm 50 years old. People's dying around me now. I mean, it was my parents' generation dying. Now it's mine. Mine's starting to go off the seam, a lot of them. And now I'm looking at that too. Look back in the things of my life, and you know what I can say before you? I've told the congregation at home, and I say it in all sincerity. I can say, if the Lord takes me tonight, I've had a good life. Thank God for His salvation. And thank God for me being able to find my land. What God gave me. Not what I've desired for myself. You can desire for yourself. And in many ways, God allows you to do that. But there's a better way than that, and a much more happier place. And that's when we submit to what God wants of our life. I'm thinking of many that God wanted, that they didn't want what God wanted. They never inherited what God had for them to inherit. And to think that the great God of heaven has something for me special. He does for you. He has life for you. And happiness, success, and contentment within the borders of your land. My lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. The Lord is my heritage. And they fell in good places. Over in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings is a story of a man. His name was Naboth. In the first verse it says, and it come to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. That means it was side by side. Is right up against one another. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Now what was wrong with that? On the surface it seemed nothing but honorable, wasn't it? Wasn't that very honorable? Listen, I've got a piece of property here and I'd like to increase it. You have a vineyard beside my mine. It ain't the best vineyard around, but it's the one beside mine. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll get you a vineyard better than yours, or I'll pay you the worth of your vineyard in money. Sounds honorable enough, but it wasn't. It was in natural dealings, secular dealings, but not in God's dealings, especially of the day and the time and of the law that God had made. Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Ahab, there's things more valuable in life than just the things you want of this earth. It's been a snare to people all down through the history of time. They thought happiness was bought by the things of this life. Ahab looked at something and he said, boy, would I be a bigger dog in the community if I had a little bit more land. Maybe the best garden stretches out a little bit. Whose eyes don't get big for things? The world's just getting bigger and bigger for things and things. Supposing that gain is godliness. Gain is happiness. Gain's going to get you. If I can get a little more, a little faster, a little bigger, somehow it's going to benefit me. But Naboth had his integrity intact. It wasn't just the land of his fathers. You know what that meant? God. Not human, but God had looked into a man's life and set the boundaries for him. And Naboth said, it's more valuable than gold. God has set my boundaries. Ahab, how could I possibly give up the heritage, my inheritance, the thing that God Himself had set in my life? Why would I struggle against that? Why would I sell it for any amount of money? And the conversation wasn't over. What if Naboth said, well, I'll double the price then. I'll triple the price. I'll quadruple it. Where do you sell it at, Naboth? Do you know it was no price? Naboth told him flat out, God forbid it of me. At that price, twice that price, or 10 times that price. It isn't about price, it's about what God had said in my life. It's fallen to me. My lines. That's where my habitation, that's where I'm going to be happiest at, is in the will of God for my life. Do you know that God can will the very best things for your life? But it don't always look in the carnal eye like it's a very good place. Sometimes you might look at it and say, well, there ain't much to look at here. There ain't much valuable here. Sometimes we look at situations and because we won't yield ourselves to God, we'll say, what a lousy place I'm in. And the Lord all at the same time is saying, happiness is around the corner for you. If you'll be meek enough to receive it, I've got an inheritance for you. Do you know there would be no great miracles of healing in the Bible if there no one was ever sick? Have you ever had God come and meet your need until you knew it and was willing to stand up and testify to it? Well, you must have had a need then. There must have been a place that God caused your lines to be put there to be able to show you something, to increase faith, to bless in that. Oh, Ahab, his neighbor said, far be it from me. God condemned me for it. I can never give you the land that was given by God to put this here. Why did God give one man a mountain lot and another in a valley lot? Why did He section it? Why did He do it? God knows what He's doing. That was all in type. I don't know how much it meant other than that. But in type, it come down to the Word, till the Lord used that very symbolism in His Sermon on the Mount, that people would understand that all that was held right for Israel for years upon years was the promise of Abraham that they was going to inherit the land of Canaan. They had lived for years for that. And everything that was right for that nation was in the promise. They longed for it. But yet when it come the time, they could hardly grasp it. They come out of Egypt. Moses led them. God led them a journey to the Jordan. And they sent the spies over into the land that God had gave them by an inheritance. God's big enough to give it to them. God showed them by a mighty hand that He was God. If you look into the plagues in Egypt, you'll find out something very interesting. Those plagues, and God knew what He was doing, they basically took all credibility from every one of the Egyptian gods. God knew what He was doing to break a yoke of a people that had been there for 400 years in an idolatrous situation. The god of the Nile turned it to blood. The god of this or the god of that or the god of the cattle, the god of all those things, God smote every one of them in the process of those plagues. And that's why He kept hardening the Pharaoh's heart. Because the children hadn't seen enough yet. God wanted them to see one more time that God isn't no better than the Nile God. That God, the God of the sun, I'll cause it to be dark. The God of the rain, I'll turn it to fire on the stones. God, all those gods that they had, some mighty thing, God brought them down and showed that He was God. And yet they came out of there. And He come to the Red Sea and showed them a great miracle of crossing the Red Sea. But they still hadn't learned. All of that, they come to the Jordan. And with the promises of God and the power to perform it, they sent the spies across. They went over and spied it out. And they came back. 12 spies and 10 of them said, they're like giants over there. Their cities are walled. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. 2 of them come back and said, true. Cities are walled. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants. They're mighty. And we're well able. We're well able. Not because we're anybody, but because we serve a God that's able. Their faith didn't fail them in the sight of things that was bigger than they were. What do you think? You know what they thought? If you'll give me this liberty, if you can read it into the story. Because when they gave them the testimony of that, the people cried all night. The people wanted the land. They wanted something of their own. They wanted homes and families. And they wanted a place that they could have great racks of grapes and pomegranates and a place that flowed with milk and honey. They wanted it. Well, why didn't God? They thought God would just have it for them and they'd stroll over there and there wouldn't be a thing to do. Let's just stroll right on in. God knows that never works for people. God wanted them to have faith in God. And so when they walked over there to the place that they were supposed to get by inheritance, they said, we're going to have to fight for it. Do you know that's the way this scripture is? And it's puzzling. How can you be meek and fight? You fight right here. That's where you fight it at. You fight against pride. You fight against self-exaltation. You fight against what humans want to do in the face of God. To accuse God. You're not God enough to take care of me. I'll do it myself. That's what they was wanting to do. And you remember the story? A whole generation of people had to be lost before they got there. But I'm minded of one of them that said, as I was in that day, when he come back some 40 years, 40 and 5 years maybe later, oh, he looked and said, give me that mountain. Oh, Caleb said, as I was in that day, my strength was, so is it now. It's the same. You don't think his shoes didn't wear out and a number of things else. Maybe he was still a young man. But then again, maybe his body had deteriorated and his spirit was the same. Maybe he hadn't lost any faith in God. Because it wasn't him conquering it in the first place. It was God, and so the more your faith increased, the more able you are to take the battle. Oh, Lord, help us. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit their land. The place that God has made for them. They ended up getting it another generation when there was some that come along that could have faith enough in God to move on across. And the first thing they run into was a great walled city called Jericho. Now, how are you going to be able to take it down? You don't have the military might to do it. How are you going to take that down? And God gives them a simple little thing of obedience. March around it. Have faith in God. God said, blessed are the meek. If you'll humble yourself and do what seems to be ridiculous sometimes. Faith looks ridiculous to the world. I wonder what the people of Jericho thought of Israelites marching around the walls. I imagine they was always hecklers. There's always been that kind. Setting up on the wall. You all sure getting it done now. Oh, what you got? What are you going to wear us out? We're walking around there. How foolish. How foolish you are. You know, we got to fight against that in our minds. The world saying, how foolish are you? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe God created the heaven and earth? Well, not everybody believes that God did that. You believe it's a God that did that? You think God created everything in 6 days? Yeah, I see a brother back there saying, yeah, Dad, I want to repeat that. Yeah, I believe he did. Now, what all else that means or what all, I ain't that smart. But the Lord said he did it in 6 days. He did it in 6 days. That ain't complicated for me. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are making people like me, trying to make us feel stupid, out of place, old-fashioned, nutcases, because I believe what God said. Blessed are the meek. This, I'm going to ask you this in this. So we're getting smarter and we figured out this stuff. So now that means that people are happier. People are better off. There's no drug addicts anymore. All the alcoholics are taken care of. The marriages ain't in trouble. Come on now. We're getting smart enough to take care. We know now, don't we? We don't know anything. The Lord said, blessed are the meek. You want to get there? Humble yourself before God. Accept God for what He said. Like I said, I can't make no great argument other than what the Lord said. If you don't believe there's a God, you wouldn't take my argument for it, because He said what He said, and I believe what He said. And you know why I believe it the most? It's because it's worked in my life. That's why I find it coming to life. The Word of God will come alive in your life. And you inherit that. You get something that you possess for yourself. I got something. Now I can read in the paper, and they're thrown off on these people because God created it. I can sit there and say, yeah, God gave me something. A land. And we'll finish with Ahab. He says, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers, and laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Now here was a man I don't know hardly how to say it. Lord help me. But we are steeped in our humanity. And the Lord wants to bring His image into our life. It's our heritage. It's our land. Ahab did what I've seen so many people do. Well, let me go ahead and say it stronger than that. I recognize it because I've done it myself. Time to pout. Didn't get in the way. So he went and laid on his bed and wouldn't even eat. Now, come on. How many times do we respond in life when our lines fall into a place that we don't like? How many times do we take this attitude? All right. Linda and I have been talking about some of these things. We have all our marriage, but we've been talking about some of these things, and there was one thing that come up about people that say, well, if you say that, it just makes me want to do something else. And I talked to somebody just the other day, and they told me the same thing. Said, every time they tell me that, it just makes me want to do something else. And I said, yeah. I said, I know what that feeling's all about. I said, but you still let them run your life then, don't you? What? And I said, well, if they can do something to change you, they're in control of your life, not you. I mean, if I wanted you to do that, I just keep telling you that because I know you would do the opposite. I mean, there's still somebody running your life. Lord, don't want that of our lives. We play these human games because we don't like where our lines are at. I don't like the situation. I want more power over you than what I've got. So I know how to hurt you. I won't talk to you. Well, that's one way. Maybe they like it. I mean, who knows? But that's the way people play the game. There's a lot of games like that. As humans, we play. you'll never inherit. You'll never see the image of God in your life that way. It's to consecrate, blessed, happy are the meek. You can't be beat this way, folks. I'm going to tell you. You cannot be outdone. You will always win. It looks like you'll lose. But I'm going to tell you. It looked like Jesus lost. Didn't it? Didn't it look like He lost? They got Him and let Him out of the garden. The trumps did. They caught the Lord. Oh no. Jesus. Peter thought he was losing. Cut a guy's ear off for it. Peter, put your sword up. You'll never win with your sword. You're losing, Peter. There's a way to win and always win. It looked like Jesus lost. They took Him and had a trial. Those that was in authority didn't show Him any leniency, no mercy. It looked like He lost. Judas thought that he was going to win in a different way. I think Judas, Bible says he was a thief, but he thought that he could get the 30 pieces of silver and then the Lord would do like He always did. He vanished out of their sight or He maneuvered around them. He had always done that. So Peter thought he could get the 30 pieces of silver and the Lord would end up being the Lord anyway. He didn't know what was going to happen. Judas. God had a land for you. God had a place for you. The lines fell to you. You didn't have to take it on your own. You don't have to steal for 30 pieces. God's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. Judas, God had a line for you. All he ended up, he couldn't handle it. What he had done. You know why? Because it looked like the Lord lost. They crucified Him. You think that's winning? Oh, He said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. Said it of Himself. He said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it back. He didn't lose. He come forth out of that grave by His own power. He didn't lose. He won. And you can never be beat by being meek. It is the victory that the Lord wants to gain. He was. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And I will give you rest unto your souls. That was the victory of the Lord and it will be the victory for us. I want to say here tonight that I wish the Lord could open up the value, the true value of your lot tonight to you. That relationship that the Lord has cultivated in your heart, it's more precious than gold that perishes. It's more precious than anything else. That place, well, I notice you folks live in Kentucky. I live in West Virginia. Others live other places. That's the lot. I don't know the people you know. I got a lot. A land. I got a place of people. I've got a place to work. And I got a place in my own life. I got my children. You have yours. You know people. I don't know. You've got a place that I don't enter into. There's a place. A lot. No, it's more than that. It's in a spiritual sense. There's your victories. Your land. The places that you can say, I have something now because God gave it to me. I have a power in my life. I have a victory in my life. I have a long suffering that I never had before. I got a gentleness that I never owned before. I got a land that it possesses. You ever hear somebody say they live in fear? They live in fear? Is that their land? You live in fear? Or they live in jealousy. They live in confusion. You ever hear those statements? They live in that? That's their land. That's what they live in their side of themselves. It's what they live in. God, I don't want you to live in there. Blessed are the meek, For they shall inherit the land of goodness of oh, I'll go back to the Canaan land just for a minute. It was full of good things for them. And they longed for that. The time that they could vagabonds, or what do you call them? Pilgrims, people going tent to tent. They wandered through the land, but one day God had promised them, you're going to have a place to call your own. You're going to have personal property rights is very strong in the Bible. They owned something. They owned it, given to them. And the Lord wants us to own something. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Lord, help us tonight to find that meekness that we might be able to have the blessings of God upon us. Oh, it'll look like sometimes somebody will run you over. It looks like sometimes that you're going to lose. But out of that comes a great victory. Out of that comes a winning that you can't get any other way. A possession. Lord, increase our land. Increase the boundaries of our land. Give us more. I'd like to have more brothers and sisters in the Lord, wouldn't you? I'd like to have more people around me. I'd like to have more of the things of God. You pray for me. Amen.